T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We have Steelers president Art Rooney II on the line. Art, thank you for taking the time to join us today. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing very well. Joe Starkey, Ron Cook. Let's jump right into it, shall we?
Sure.
You were definitive, Art, the other day when you sat down with reporters on wanting to get an extension done with Ben this offseason. You were not definitive on wanting to get one done with Mike Tomlin. Why not as definitive or not definitive with Mike's situation?
Well, you know, Mike and I have had a conversation every year about, the future and where we're going with his contract, and we typically have had those private conversations later in the year. So, I don't think there's anything to read into it other than, we don't do that at this point in the year. And in Ben's situation, we're going to try and get that done sooner rather than later.
Even though the talks with Mike would come later, clearly, and that's stuff that happens usually, I think last time it happened in August. Is it your intention to get Mike locked into an extension this offseason?
Well, it's my intention to sit down with Mike and talk about the future like we do every year.
Art, there's a perception out there that things have kind of spiraled out of control under him over there. Obviously, the Antonio situation, the way it ended, but I mean, even to threatening a reporter in training camp, to calling Ed Bouchette a racist, to driving 110 miles on McKnight Road, but even going back further to Le'Veon, to James Harrison, to Martavis Bryant. What do you tell the fans out there who say, man, this team looks like it's out of control?
You know, our fans judge us primarily on wins and losses, Ron, and this team has won pretty consistently under Mike's tenure here. And when you look at this season, we're disappointed we didn't make the playoffs, obviously, but we finished a half game out of winning our division, and we're in it down to the last plays of the season, and played against a couple of the playoff teams that we're going to be watching this weekend, the last two out of the last 3 weeks, and played pretty well against them. So, everything hasn't gone as smooth as you might like, but that's sports these days. And I think that overall, I think the performance on the field has been not exactly what we'd like, but certainly nothing to be embarrassed about as far as I'm concerned.
Art, people who call our show differentiate between the regular season and the postseason. In the regular season, you're absolutely right. I think Mike has the best record of anybody since he's been in the league other than Belichick in New England. But 3 playoff wins in 8 years, 3-5 since the Super Bowl loss to Green Bay in 2010. Do you differentiate between regular season and postseason?
Well, certainly we want to do better than that, Ron, and to be successful in the postseason, you got to start with winning the regular season. So that certainly counts. But bottom line is, we want to be a playoff team that's successful at the end of the season, and we need to get back to doing what we need to do to do that. I think we have the core group of players that can help us do that, and in some areas this year we've made progress. In some areas we need to be better, and we're going to be hard at work this offseason trying to get there.
Art, have you heard yet from Antonio Brown?
No, I haven't heard from Antonio, so I quit waiting by the phone.
I think one thing that really galled some players in there, in fact, I know galled some players, Art, was the idea that Antonio got his game check for the game against Cincinnati, which I believe is something that you've confirmed. Why wasn't he suspended either that Saturday night or sometime before the game instead of allowing him to come to the stadium and then, of course, leave at halftime and such? Why wasn't he suspended?
Well, he was disciplined for part of the conduct that weekend. And, I guess people can second guess whether he should have been suspended or not. We were dealing with a player that, frankly, we didn't have all the information about, what he was planning to do and what condition he was in physically. So, people can second guess that. I just wish it could have come out a different way, that's for sure.
I believe you mentioned the other day that he wasn't a major distraction until the last weekend of the season. So I'm wondering, were you not highly concerned based on some of the stuff Ron mentioned and just his general pattern of behavior that he was maybe headed for a cliff here, whether it's skipping work after he blew up on the sidelines against Kansas City, threatening the reporter, 100 miles an hour driving, accused of being thrown, throwing furniture off a balcony? Did you not see a pattern there?
Well, look, certainly, Antonio, we've had our differences on things and would have liked certain activities to be eliminated and had conversations with Antonio about things over the years. So I'm not going to say that it's been 100% what we would like. But I think, the other side of the coin you have to acknowledge is, he's been one of the top players in the NFL for many years now. He and Ben are a historic combination in terms of their statistics together as a passer and a receiver. And he helped contribute to a lot of wins over his career. And so, it's not always 100% of what you hope for in dealing with a player. And, whether we should have seen that particular incident coming, it's hard to say. It's hard to say. People can second guess that if they want.
Art, I think we all agree Mike Munchak did a heck of a job here. And I understand why he went to Denver. Certainly, I talked to him late in the season, and I know how important his daughter and granddaughter is to him and his wife, for that matter. How did he become a free agent, though? Did you try to do something with him before the season, and he just wasn't interested? Or how does a guy like that get to become a free agent?
Yeah, we've had talks with Munch to try and extend the contract, and he just preferred to do it his way. I don't know how long he was thinking about trying to do this, but obviously it was important to him that at some point he get back to being in the same city as his daughter and granddaughter. And funny thing about it is I had a conversation with him in December about that we were both lamenting the fact that our grandchildren didn't live in the same city as we do, and maybe that was a precursor to things to come because he went out and did something about it. So we appreciate everything Munch did while he was here. He's a great football coach and a great person, and we wish him all the best. And, Sean Surrett has been here working under him now for a little over 5 years. And we're confident that Sean can continue to work in that room and has the respect of the offensive linemen.
All right, I just want to be clear. So when you talked to him, did you talk to him before this season and he kind of just said, let's wait, or did you just wait till after the season?
No, we talked to him before and after. So, that's obviously he has a right to make a decision when he wants to pull the trigger on a contract.
Talking a few more minutes here with Steelers president Art Rooney II. Art, why was Joey Porter's contract not renewed?
Coach felt it was time to make a change there. Again, Joey made a lot of contributions to the organization down through the years, and we wish him well. But sometimes it feels like it's time to make a change, and so Coach went ahead and made that change.
Who ran your defense this season?
Well, Keith Butler, obviously, is our defensive coordinator, and Coach Tomlin, as a head coach, like any head coach, has the right to be involved on both sides of the ball, which he is. But Coach Tomlin came up as a defensive coach, and I think he and Coach Butler work closely together on that. And truth of the matter is, even though it wasn't everything we would have hoped for, statistically, we're, you know, one of the better defenses in the league this year.
Who made the majority of the defensive calls on game day?
You know, they work together on it, so I don't know that I can give you a percentage of who called what. You know, Coach Butler makes most of the calls, but certainly Mike is right there beside him the whole game.
I know, Art, it bothered you, the turnover ratio and certainly the blown leads in the fourth quarter. Is it just simply a matter you got to find a way to go out and get some better players?
Well, I mean, there's going to be part of the off season in terms of finding players that can help us get that done, and that's always part of the off season. But there's no question that you can't finish with a minus turnover ratio and feel like you're going to win a lot of games, and that certainly was a factor in some of the games that were close. And we had opportunities to make interceptions and the ball was dropped, and we just got to get better at doing that.
Art, where does the Le'Veon situation stand now? And I think you expressed the other day that, man, it's kind of hard to believe that a guy would sit out all season and give up those paychecks. Where does that situation stand?
Well, as you know, he's a unrestricted free agent at this point, and obviously we still have the option to place a tag on him. We haven't made any decisions in that regard, and we still have several weeks to make a decision like that. So, we haven't closed any doors, and again, those are the options that are on the table that we'll consider.
Art, I just want to be clear on this from the beginning of our conversation when you said that's sports these days, talking about, the labels of team turmoil or a circus. And I have to be honest, since the beginning of last season, I've never been around a team like this between Antonio and James Harrison's antics and Martavis and Le'Veon and the Todd Haley thing in the bar last year and the national anthem fiasco and linemen shredding Le'Veon public, all of this stuff. But it sounds like you believe that this is not unusual and that there's not either a culture problem or something that needs to be fixed there off the field. Is that the case?
Well, I certainly don't think we have a culture problem, Joe, and we won 13 games last year. So if you have a culture problem, if you have a discipline problem on your team, those kind of teams don't win 13 games in the National Football League. Those are the facts that we have to deal with. As I said, there are things that happen from time to time off the field that down through the years we've had to deal with, and would prefer that these things don't happen. But we've had players hold out, many different players down through the years, had hold out. That's part of the business. Teams have players that get suspended every year. That's part of the business. Would like to have less of that, no question about it. But bottom line is, when you point to last year and everybody talking about all the drama, that was a team that won 13 games. So I think that the first test for me is, the performance on the field. Are we winning games? Do we have a winning culture? And, I think that the record speaks for itself.
Art, you missed the playoffs this year. That doesn't mean you'll miss them next year. Do you feel like this team is in a good position to be able to turn it around again next season?
Yeah, Ron, look, I think we have a core group of players that can be the nucleus of another good team and a playoff team. Certainly I feel good about Ben and the condition he's in physically and mentally, and certainly the development of some of the young players that are coming up, like Juju and Connor and TJ Watt. So, there are a lot of things I think we can build on and get back to where we want to be.
Art, we really appreciate the time. Thanks for making time for us today.
Well, thank you. Good to be with you guys.
All right, Art. Thank you, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.